And welcome to this edition of Money Matters. My name's Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for tuning in today on your community radio station. Discussions of this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. The opinions expressed here are my opinions only and may not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or underwriters. And this show is always and ever about money, as money does matter, and the matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. Money Matters is about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. And today is Money Matters number 327. 327 shows, close to 16 years. And today's show is entitled Sell in May or Go Away. And so I'd like to welcome you all there. So here we are with the Dow, 34,500 and change up and down. You know, I have a variety of portfolios under management and a variety of portfolios myself. And they basically kind of been going nowhere. I mean, they were going great January, February, and they kind of stalled out, you know, here, there, going up and then going down, then going back up and then back down. So I can pretty much tell you that the market for the last 2 months has been kind of just up and down and rotation, you know, out of particular stocks that were stay-at-home stocks and then into stocks that were get-away-from-home stocks. And so as an investor, if you're having a portfolio in the market, many people do, and many people don't, of course, but it's still important that we watch it. If you've been watching your balances, probably not going everywhere that you'd like them to go, but they are moving. They're just not moving in a constant direction. Not like we might have seen since April 2020 when we had, you know, the trajectory may have been straight up for at least 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months. So vaccinations are easy to get now, and we still have rising COVID cases. In India, of course, we're seeing cases, you know, through the roof there. But some places are getting better. Some places, some of the Asian nations are getting a little bit worse again. But I think we're over the hump, I think. And so that'd be good news. And you can see that the nation and indeed the world is opening up. I saw yesterday that there are some countries that are actually paying you to come visit them. Now, other countries you can't go. I looked into going to Ireland or Scotland, and both those countries said, nah, I can't go. Hawaii requires a COVID test within 3 days for when you fly. And of course, if it's in 4 days, because it happens to be late, you can't fly. And so that's kind of a risk. You know, you make all these arrangements and all of a sudden you can't get your COVID test back. You could have a vaccination card, but that doesn't get you on the plane. You got to test negative. So it's still a little difficult. I found Mexico during the year and still rather easy. You just go there. They take your temperature. To get back, the United States requires a negative COVID test, but the hotels do that for you, and they're really good about that. I know I've been there twice, and so they're good about that. So that's easy. It's getting out, you know. When you're in a hotel, they're going to give you the test because they know you got to go. But getting out to go to some of these places like Hawaii and the rest is difficult. I mean, if you got to get a test and you're late and you got a non-refundable flight or something, ouch, that would hurt for sure. So with the stock market seemingly pushing to record highs with every passing week, investors and analysts alike are concerned about the coming market correction, right? When is this thing going to correct? It started 29,500 all the way down to 18,213, somewhere in there, which had hit that in a low part of March 2020. Here we are a year later, and we're at very closing on 35,000. Not quite a double, but getting there for sure. And 18,000 double would be 36,000. So, yeah, pretty incredible, even though the economy is still suffering. But everybody's looking for the holy grail in market forecasting and forecasting for absolutes, thinking that you have it figured out, is a fool's errand. Investors and professionals, however, still sniff about looking for clues which might indicate something wicked this way comes, or the all clear is on, right? In other words, everyone is looking for the Holy Grail in investing, which is recognizing a possible sign that a correction may be in the cards. When one has been looking at the markets for decades, seriously, you know, I bought my first stock at 14, so I've been looking at them, 50 years? You know, you begin to notice after 50 years, half a century, when a correction might be manifesting itself. Cataloging what preceded market crashes in the past is what I do, and that may give hints as to what may happen in the future. Never for sure, but sometimes things repeat. Sometimes history repeats. Sometimes it rhymes. So although no one can absolutely predict market direction of any kind, for sure, nevertheless, much like dark clouds may precede a rainstorm, not absolutely, but it may, markets do tend to exhibit specific signs of stress before sell-offs, which often, but not always, signal that your portfolio risk is on the increase. Bonds are simply IOUs from entities, bonds, IOUs, debt. Bonds in the public markets tend to move opposite of stocks. This is the reason it is commonplace to have a mix of both in a portfolio. Keeping that in mind, if bond prices start to rise, right, it might be a signal investors are attempting to mitigate some stock risk for whatever reason. They may be swapping out some stocks for bonds because they sense that there's risk somewhere. The risk may not even be known. What is important, however, is that something is happening in the markets. Consumer staple stocks, these are the companies that make the basic necessities of life. They tend to rise when market risk increases, as investors will move towards things that are less discretionary. In other words, if times get tough, you may not eat out as often, but you still have to buy light bulbs and laundry detergent. So the companies that make those things are non-discretionary companies, and people still have to buy them. So sometimes you'll see investors flock out of the growth companies of things that you may want to buy and into things that you still have to buy. Companies that make packaged food and cereal and things like that are thought to be a more defensive holding when things get dicey in the markets. Investors, like I said, tend to shun the growth stocks in lieu of the old stodgy types of stocks that have been around for decades, making things that people have to buy instead of things that they want to buy. So we might see investors go into the companies that make the things that you have to buy. If stocks fall and then continue to fall over a prolonged period, this can indicate the wind is coming out of the market sails and that the momentum may have changed from a previous euphoric period or a previous rally. Now, we have seen that the market's just kind of gyrating around, so that may be an indication that perhaps the momentum is changing. Stocks of utility companies, those are the ones your grandfather and grandmother used to own. You know, they provide power, and everybody needs power and water. So these rise more than normal, tend to rise more than normal when things get dicey, and fixed income may increase as risk increases. Fixed income, like I said, are bonds or preferred stocks, treasury funds, treasuries, IOUs, treasury bills, and securities that offer a fixed rate of return instead of the allure of a rising stock price. Precious metals may also start to rise when intrepid investors get the willies. They may. Interest rates may start to rise as well, indicating money is getting tight, as investors are not so eager to lend out their money and are demanding higher interest rates to do so. So all of these things can indicate stress in the marketplace. There's also indexes that measure fear and volatility, and I won't get into what they are, but they're there, and they're publicly traded, and they may rise prior to market problems as well. There are contrarian indicators, things that typically occur during market tops. These can also signal things have gone too far too fast. And they have margin debt. Margin debt is the amount of money borrowed to buy more stock than an investor has money. Margin debt is accumulated in a brokerage account. Brokerage accounts the firms will lend you money to buy more stock than you have money. When margin debt reaches historically high levels, this may also indicate excessive speculation. This can also occur during extreme optimism. Things can happen during times of extreme optimism, which can be a precursor to market sell-offs. In other words, although it's secondary to common sense, markets tend to reverse down when everybody thinks the market can do nothing but go up. And along the same contrarian lines, markets tend to stop falling when everyone is jumping out the window, so to speak, which signals investor capitulation and extreme market despair. So in conclusion, although no indicator can forecast market direction with 100% accuracy, there may be certain historical events that occur from time to time that may very well signal to the astute observation person, to the somebody that is very, very paying close attention to the market, the markets are getting ready to change direction and quite possibly in a very big way. So we'll look for those signs. And when I see them, I might give a heads up. And we are seeing the market kind of oscillate around here in the last 2-3 months, as I said when I started out the show. So who knows, that may be a precursor to something changing the momentum. And of course, the show is entitled Sell in May and Go Away. That's an old saying in the markets that says, in May, you should sell all stocks and then buy them back in November. Now, remember, that is not a recommendation to do that. It's just a saying. Sell in May and go away. Okay, we'll be right back with this edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Kunenberg. Stay tuned. And welcome back to this edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cudaverde. Thanks for joining me, the Money Show 327, Sell in May or and Go Away. Well, the market sold off May 4th pretty hard in the beginning of the day. And this was reportedly brought about by Secretary of Treasury Janet Yellen. Remember Janet Yellen? She used to be the former Federal Reserve Chief from 2014 to 2018. She made a comment during an economic seminar that interest rates may have to rise to cool off potential overheating in the economy. She basically said, quote, it may be that interest rates will have to rise somewhat to make sure that our economy doesn't overheat. Even though the additional spending in the stimulus program, my words right there, is relatively small relative to the size of the economy, it could cause some very modest increase in interest rates. An overheating economy, my words now, of course, is a nice way to say inflation. Note the comment she made on comparative stimulus spending being, quote, relatively small compared to the economy. I might have issue with that. Current estimates put spending on COVID-19 program so far somewhere in the area north of $6 trillion. There is another $4 trillion proposed by Sir Biden on infrastructure spending. That figure came out from CNBC May 5th. With the U.S. economy yielding somewhere in the area of $21 trillion a year in gross domestic product, which is all the money spent on goods and services in the nation. Everything added up in the nation in a year. $21 trillion. Stimulus spending in the past 12 months, $6 trillion, is about, you know, a little bit less than a third. And if the infrastructure plan is approved, that would boost spending up to 6 and 4 is $10 trillion. So that's a little less than half of GDP. So I would say relatively small compared to the economy, a third to a half? Nah. In historical terms, many conservative and liberal economists alike categorize this unprecedented spending. Unprecedented. And indeed, the percentage that we see there, from a third to 50% of GDP, dwarfs all of the previous government spending programs in all of U.S. history. Astute investors and past listeners of Money Matters know that where government spending goes, so goes inflation. Yellen seems to be acknowledging the possibility that where government spending goes, so goes inflation, and warning that a preemptive strike from the feds on inflation may be necessary. Now, well, I said from the feds, what I find odd is that the interest rate increases are the job of the Federal Reserve and not that of the Treasury Secretary. Now, although Yellen was Fed chief, she is no longer. And as Treasury Secretary or Secretary Treasury, the Federal Reserve is supposed to be an entity on its own, beholden to no government body or official. In other words, they're supposed to be completely independent. That Yellen would comment on a proposed Federal Reserve policy when she's no longer there and she's Treasury Secretary, it's contradictory to the Fed's mandate. Alas, I would say that old habits and jobs die hard for Miss Yellen, I would imagine. In any case, Yellen is the first official that has something to do with how the government feels about monetary policy, being Treasury Secretary. She's the first one to really hint about inflation becoming a concern in the midst of this ongoing and massive stimulus and recovery programs to address COVID-19. Up until now, all the interest rate talk has come from Jerome Powell, the current Fed chief, the job that Janet Yellen used to hold. She's not there anymore, remember. And he's been very careful to avoid the subject about interest rate increases. He is more deferring to a more dovish, what we call easy money stance, not to spook the markets. So when Yellen said that, everybody knows that Yellen, you know, yields a pretty big stick here. And so when she said that, May 4th, markets apparently were taken aback by the comment, and the majority of sectors sold off hard early on. I did find it interesting that she made a comment to interest rates as Treasury Secretary. And apparently they know that inflation is a concern. Now, I've been talking up inflation for the last, as soon as I saw the stimulus spending, so we could say the last 8 or 9 months, on the show and in the articles, Money Matter articles that I write. So the Fed's noticing it. And it's funny, the inflation article, a series of articles that I wrote a couple of months back, did garner a lot of reader feedback. And everybody said, oh yeah, inflation is terrible. So I don't know how you feel about it. You can always send me an email if you like at news@moneymanagementradio.com and let me know if you've seen inflation. But for everybody I talk to, everybody knows what business I'm in. I'm in the money business. I've seen a lot of inflation, and apparently now the feds have too. Of course, you couldn't tell by the retail sales, right? Every mall I go to, which I don't go to many, I don't like going there, but when I go, they're always packed full. The restaurants are packed full. The ones that were open during the shutdowns were packed full, and now that a lot of them are opening up, they're packed full. So you can't tell by all the crowds out buying stuff and traveling. Not traveling, not a lot of people still aren't traveling. Although the overabundance of help wanted signs gives me some indication that things are, something strange is afoot at the Circle K. That quote from Wayne's World. Was it Wayne's World? I think it was. No, Ted's, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Okay, there we go. Yeah, something strange is afoot at the Circle K. Okay, you're listening to Money Matters on your community station, radio station. We'll be right back to talk about an interesting theory I have about minimum wage and the COVID shutdowns and all the help wanted signs. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. And welcome back to Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaberti. You're listening to Money Matters number 327, Sell in May and Go Away. An old stock market saying, it's not a recommendation to sell in May, but there is a saying that says sell in May and go away and then rebuy back in November. And there are theories that that will yield better results than if you kept it all year. A theory. So that is not a recommendation. I'm just telling you what the old adage is. So years ago, I coined a lot of phrases in this business. And I coined the phrase economic osmosis years ago. Now, you, as you know, or some of you may not know, osmosis is a process of technically molecules of a solvent tend to pass through a semipermeable membrane from a less concentrated solution into a more concentrated one, thus equalizing the concentrations of each side of the membrane. That from Wikipedia. Basically, if you have a pot of boiling water and you put a tablespoon of concentrated soup mix, it spreads out and makes it even everywhere. Same thing with coffee or juice. Oil and water don't do that, obviously. But most things, you dilute something, the complete mixture becomes evenly distributed throughout the pot. Economic osmosis, I use the example of wage osmosis. So wages between countries, well, let's say we got two countries, wages between countries can be isolated and at different levels until such a time where the two societies merge. And at that point, the lower wage country will see their wages increase, while the higher wage country will see a fall in wages until such a time where equilibrium is reached, bringing the two wages together in one standard wage. So imagine there's a city and they're paying about 10 bucks an hour, and a new company comes in and they need a lot of workers, so they offer 12 bucks an hour. The city is now unable to find enough workers at 10, so they are now forced to pay their higher wage. The new business ABC company sees a lot of workers come, maybe not that much, I mean, not as maybe more than they need. And so somewhere in between, a medium wage is reached in the city and a new standard wage is established. Economic osmosis. Somebody comes in, offers more, somebody's paying less, and the eventual wage will be somewhere in the middle. Now, let's correlate that example to the theme of a recent Money Matters show, an article that I penned a few weeks back, which stated that there were, despite high unemployment rates in America, it's about 6% right now, small businesses are still having a difficulty in finding available workers. The show, I think, was called Help Wanted Signs Are Everywhere. I think I entitled the show A Plethora of Help Wanted Signs. We drew the conclusion that the scarcity of workers, despite a high unemployment rate, was because of the generous unemployment bonus benefits that were being paid by the Employment Development Department, the EDD of the U.S. government, due to the COVID-19 bailouts. I put forth here today that in order to entice workers to come off the substantial unemployment benefits now being offered, American businesses are going to have to pay a higher wage to fill their employment roles. So we have a very high unemployment rate, but help wanted signs are everywhere, and businesses are saying we can't get people. Interestingly enough, the United States is experiencing a 15-hour minimum wage push. They're trying to get the minimum wage nationally to $15, which has become a political hotbed. The need to mandate this minimum wage may be slowly disappearing because of the economic wage osmosis, which is now happening, introduced by, one, the higher EDD payments, which are generally higher than the current wages being offered by a lot of businesses, and two, because businesses now need a lot of workers. As a result, I put it forth today that businesses are experiencing wage osmosis, and they're likely going to have to pay a higher wage to hire the employees they so desperately need to reopen in the post-COVID economy. It may also happen that $15 an hour may not be enough to entice workers to come back. In essence, the government, in their decision to boost EDD employment benefits, may have solved the debate over the 15-hour minimum wage issue without mandate or debate. The government is essentially acting like our ABC company by paying people a higher rate than once was previously the going rate for small businesses, right? You want to go in and you wash your cars or you wait on tables. It was not quite $15. The government is unknowingly competing with private business. The government is unknowingly competing with private business for available workers, driving up the wages in the process. Even though those collecting unemployment are not working per se, the EDD payment is still acting like competitive compensation. That's making it difficult for workers, making it difficult for businesses to find workers. The workforce is in essence saying, you must pay us a higher wage for me to give up my unemployment and go back to work. Although we can't make a carte blanche assumption that this is all that is at work here for all these help wanted sides, it's not a far stretch of my imagination to visualize how this can be the reason workers are hard to find despite a high unemployment rate. People are simply being paid more to sit home. In a strange way, Washington may no longer need to argue the minimum wage issue. The $15 an hour minimum wage may already be well on its way to becoming a reality through wage osmosis brought about by the lucrative EDD COVID payments. In conclusion, in past shows, I have illustrated that where government goes, so goes inflation. So we may already be witnessing this inflation in rising wages because the government is there through EDD. This has caused the inflation by the massive amounts of money in the form of the EDD unemployment benefits that are going directly into the workforce. The bad news is this will likely lead to something called wage push inflation. That's where higher wages eventually show up in the overall inflation rate of everything else we buy. And there's that issue about inflation again, and the wage push from the EDD high payments may be on its way. That's it for today's Money Matters. You're listening to Money Matters Show 327. Sell in May and go away. My name's Mark Cuniberti. Remember, opinions expressed here are my opinions only and may not reflect those of any media outlet. It is not Mana's recommendation to buy or sell any securities. Nobody can forecast market direction at any time, including myself. I hold California Insurance License OL34249. I'm a Medicare approved agent in the state of California. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Have a great day and go make some money.